إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. This is another lesson that we're having, reading from an explanation of Al-Asul al-Thalatha. And the explanation is by Sheikh Saleh ibn al-Fawzan, al-Fawzan hafizahu Allah ta'ala. And moving on in the treatise, we come to the statement of the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. He says, Al-Asl al-Thalith ma'rifatu nabiyyina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or he says, Al-Asl al-Thalith ma'rifatu nabiyyikum Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wuhu Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib bin Hisham bin Quraysh. Quraysh min al-Arab. والعرب من ذرية إسماعيل ابن إبراهيم الخليل عليه وعلى نبينا أفضل الصلاة والسلام. This portion of the book, the author رحمه الله تعالى is going to talk about knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. الشيخ صالح الفوزان حبيب الله تعالى mentioned as it relates to this portion of the treatise, the Sheikh Hafizullah Ta'ala mentions that لأن الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى ذكر في أول الرسالة, يعني الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب mentioned in the beginning of the treatise, أنه يجب على كل مسلم ومسلمة معرفة هذه الأصول الثلاثة. Because the author, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he said in the beginning of the treatise that it is incumbent upon every Muslim man and every Muslim female to know these three principles and foundations. And what are the three principles and foundations? They are that which the individual, or what the individual will be asked about in his grave. Ma'rifatullah wa ma'rifatu نبيه ومعرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة. And we've mentioned the معرفة of Allah, and we've mentioned the معرفة of the Deen of Islam, and now the author رحمه الله تعالى is coming to the portion of the treatise where he's mentioning understanding and knowing. He's mentioning knowing the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم with the proofs. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says, حفظ الله تعالى, وهو معرفة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واسطة بين الله وبين خلقه في تبليغ دينه ورسالته وجب معرفته عليه الصلاة والسلام. Because the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the individual that Allah Azza wa Jal chose to be the one to inform the people of the religion. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is between us and Allah azza wa jalla in terms of what? Not in terms of ibadah, yani that we pray to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or that we supplicate. No, but he has informed us about Allah azza wa jalla. So our knowledge of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, his names, his attributes, how to worship Allah, we were informed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even the book which was revealed, the book that Allah azza wa jal sent down as a reminder for mankind, kitabun anzalnahu ilayka litukhrijan nas min al-dhulumati ila an-nur, a book that we have sent down to you to take the people from darkness to light. Hameen kitabun unzila na'am, in one of the surahs, تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم in سورة الأحقاف. حميم تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم, يعني the book which has been sent down from Allah Azza wa Jal, the Almighty, the All-Wise. So even the book has been sent down from Allah Azza wa Jal by way of the angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to inform the people, to inform the people, to remind the people. وَنَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْكَ ذِكْرًا لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And we have sent down to you the reminder so that you can clarify to the people that which has been revealed to them. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak of his desires, it is only revelation. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Quran was revealed to him along with his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so that he can teach it to the people, so that he can propagate it to the people. Naam. And with that being the case, wajib ma'rifatuhu alayhi salatu wasalam. With that being the case, it is obligatory that we know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wa illa kayfa tattabi' shakhsan la ta'rifuhu. If this is the individual that Allah Azza wa Jalla chose to propagate and call to his religion, how can you follow him except that you know him? How can you follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam except that you know him? As Allah Ta'ala said to his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. Say, if you love Allah, then follow me. Say, if you love Allah, then follow me. So in order to, and like I said, what does it go back to? It goes back to the asl, and that is, this is the one that Allah chose to propagate and explain the religion. This is the one that Allah Azza wa Jalla chose to propagate and explain the religion. So how can you follow him without knowledge? How can you follow him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without knowledge? فَلَابُدْ أَن تَعْرِفَ مِنْ حَيْثُ الْإِسْمِ وَمِنْ حَيْثُ الْبَلَدَ الَّذِي وُلِدَ وَنَشَأَ فِيهِ وَالْبَلَدَ الَّذِي هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ وَتَعْرِفْ مُدَّةَ عُمْرِهِ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ. So the Shaykh said, so it's incumbent that you know his name, that you know the country that he was born in, that you know where he was raised, that you know the country that he migrated to, that you know his lifespan. All of this is incumbent upon us. It's incumbent upon us to know. So this is extremely important upon the believer to know in detail the individual that Allah Azza wa Jal selected to be his last and final messenger. As Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَخَاتِبَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Muhammad, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said in the Quran, Muhammad is not the father of any of you men. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not the father of any of the men, because we know that all of his sons died while they were young or before they were born. Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the father of daughters. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had daughters. But Allah Ta'ala said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the father of any of you, but he is the seal of the prophets. He is the messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets. He is the messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets. So we should know his name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should know his country, where he was raised. All of this is extremely important. All of this is very, very important. And the reason why that is also important, because you should even know, as the scholars mentioned, you should even know how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was before he became a prophet and the messenger. You should know that which his people were upon. You should know that which Quraysh were upon. I mean, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to them, what type of people were they? What were they involved in? As Sheikh Zayd, Habibullah Ta'ala, Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, Habibullah Ta'ala, he mentioned in his explanation, وَأَكْبَرْ مَعْسِيَةِ. يعني, they were upon the greatest of sin. مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ كُفَّارُ قُرَيْشِ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْبِعْثَ فِي جَاهِلِيَتِهِمْ التي فيها من الفساد والضلال ما هو معلوم ممن أو مما بينه الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه وبينه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في سنته. يعني the greatest of sin is that which the people of Quraysh were upon before the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their time of jahiliyyah, in their time of ignorance. That which التي فيها من الفساد, that they were upon pure evil. They were upon disgraceful actions. And this has been clarified by Allah Azza wa Jalla in His book, and likewise by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were upon shirk. They were worshipping over 300 idols. Worshipping over 300 idols. They were killing their daughters. If they had a daughter that was born, they would immediately become sad. وَإِذَا بُشِرَ أَحَدَكُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى. As Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, if one of them has been informed that he has had a daughter, ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدَّ وَهُوَ قَدِيمٌ. Allah Ta'ala mentioned, if one of them is informed that he has a daughter, his face becomes black. يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِرَ بِهِ أَيُدْفِنُهُ عَلَى حَوْنٍ أَوْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التَّرَابِ. Allah Ta'ala mentioned, they would say, يعني ظل وجهه مسودا وهو قديم يتوارى من القوم من سوء ما بشر به أيمسكه على حون أو يدسه في التراب. He would run away from the people. He would hide from the people because of the evil that he's been informed. أيمسكه على حون, would he hold it for some time, أم يدسه في التراب, or would he bury it? Would he hold it for some time, or would he bury it? يعني this is that which they were upon in terms of the women. If they were informed that they had a daughter, they would immediately become sad. They would become grieved. Because, and the reason why this would take place amongst the Arab is because a woman, during the time of the Arab, she would not fight jihad. You know, she would not fight jihad. So she, and you know, they were upon jihad. They were upon Afwan. Not that they were upon jihad, but they were upon tribal wars. They were heavily involved in tribal wars. And the individual who was strong, he would conquer the individual who was weak. So they said, she can't do anything, and she can't support her family, nor can she fight. Nor can she fight to protect her tribe. So they would immediately become sad. أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُمْ. But I said, they would hide their faces from the people, and they would think, should I keep her for some time, or should I bury her? Allah says, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. When the young girl, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, when the young girl is asked, what was the crime that she committed that brought about her death? وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. And when the young girl is asked, what crime did she commit that led to her being buried? So this is something that we should know. We should know what the Quraysh were upon when the Prophet ﷺ was sent to them. How they were heavily involved in shirk. They were worshipping idols. They were worshipping statues. They were worshipping stones. They were worshipping dates. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned that he used to worship a date. And whenever he would become hungry, he would eat his god. So to see their level of ignorance, and then to know the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the fact that he was al-Amin, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known before becoming a prophet, a messenger, he was known for being extremely trustworthy. He was known for his trustworthiness. He was known for being clean. He was known for being free from the worship of idols. And they trusted him. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he stood on the mountain in Mecca, and he called them, he called his tribes, he called his family members, and he said, if I were to inform you, and this is in Sahih Bukhari, if I were to inform you that there was an army behind this mountain that is on the verge of attacking you, would you believe me? They said, what did they respond? مَا جَرَّبْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكَذِبِ. They said, we've never experienced a lie. We have never known you to lie. We have never known you to lie. So to know the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he became a prophet and a messenger, and to know the hal, the state of Quraysh when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to them. This is something extremely important, and it's something that we should teach in the masajid and in the homes. We should know this. Our children, our wives, they should know this. The new Muslims should know this. This should be a part of the foundations of our teaching and our learning and our communities, to know the state of the Quraysh when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent amongst them. And as it relates to knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we take it further by knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after he became a prophet and after he became a messenger, to know his sifat. And even the Jews, they knew of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of their books. Allah had mentioned, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِي اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. As Allah SWT mentioned in the Quran, that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam would say, and I would give glad tidings to a prophet that would come after me. His name is Ahmed. So the Jews, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Allah SWT mentioned, the Jews know him like they knew their children. And you have the likes of Abdullah bin Salam. He was from amongst the rabbis, from amongst the Jews. And the Jews, it was mentioned in their books that a prophet would come and he would dwell in a land which has many date palms. The Jews came from the north, from Tabuk. The Jews came from the south. They came from Yemen. And they migrated to Al-Madinah. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam finally arrived in Al-Madinah, you had the Jews who knew that a prophet would come in this land, so they waited for him years before the Prophet arrived sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is that which was mentioned, because this was mentioned in their manuscripts, this was mentioned in their books. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam finally arrived in Al-Madinah, they approached him. When they realized that he was from the lineage of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, as we're going to mention in the treaties, some of them, they rejected and they left. They went back to Tabuk, they went back to Yemen. They went back to the land that they came from. And some of them said, no, this is the man that we've been waiting for. This is the man that we have been waiting for. Like Abdullah bin Salam. And he entered into his Islam. Likewise, you had the likes of Abu Dharr al-Ghafari, individual from amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who never worshipped an idol. And when they came into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they mentioned, I knew that he, once I came into his company, I knew that he was truthful. And amongst the Quraysh, the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, in the chapter of Revelation, and at the beginning of Revelation, when the kuffar from Quraysh went to Al-Habasha, went to Ethiopia, in search of the Muslims who had left. And it shows you the kuffar, they won't leave you alone. The kuffar from Quraysh followed the Muslims to Ethiopia, the Muslims who had migrated because of fear of oppression. They migrated to Ethiopia because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them permission. The kuffar of Quraysh, when they traveled there and they wanted the Muslims back, they wanted to take the Muslims as hostage and to bring them back to Mecca so that they can do what? So that they can torture them. So the affair wasn't that we don't want you to worship other than Allah in Mecca. No, we don't want you to worship other than Allah anywhere. This is the great affair, the great turmoil of the kuffar, that they're not pleased. They will not be pleased with the believer حَتَّى يُرُدُّوكُمْ عَنْ دِينِكُمْ إِنْ اسْتَطَاعُوا, until they return you, until they make you go back from your religion. It's not enough that you only worship Allah, or that you don't worship Allah. It's not enough that you only worship Allah in their land. They don't want you worshiping Allah anywhere in the world. They want you upon kufr, a shirk, a ma'asiyah. They want you upon disbelief. They want you upon sin. So the kuffar of Quraysh, they traveled to Ethiopia to return, and they requested from Najashi to return the Muslims. And when Najashi called the Muslims and requested from the Muslims, what is Muhammad teaching you? He's teaching us to be kind. He's teaching us to keep ties with our relatives. He's teaching us to worship Allah. He's teaching us to be honest. He's teaching us not to oppress and the likes. This was mentioned. And the Kufar of Quraysh had no response. Likewise, the Azim al-Rum and Hiraql, the leader, the king of Rome, when he called Abu Sufyan, when the Muslims were visiting some of the lands, the Roman lands, he called Abu Sufyan, and at that time Abu Sufyan had not entered into the fold of Islam, and he asked Abu Sufyan about this man who claims to be a prophet. Tell me about him. Was he known to be honest? Was he known to be trustworthy? Did he have any forefathers that claimed to be prophets? Who enters into the religion, the weak or the rich, this, that? When Abu Sufyan responded with that which he responded, he said, if what you're saying is correct, then verily he would own, verily he would conquer this land. Verily he would conquer this land. If I had the ability to meet him, I would wash his feet. I would wash his feet. Hiraql did not enter into Islam. But when he heard the sifat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew right away that he was a prophet and he was a messenger. Najashi entered into Islam. Najashi, the king of Ethiopia at that time, he entered into Islam. And walillahi alhamd, he will enter into Jannah. But Hiraql did not enter into Islam, but when he heard the sifat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew right away that he was a prophet and a messenger. Why? Based on what? Based on his description. Based on what he heard of his characteristics. Based on what he heard of his history. And this is, it's sad to say that Muslims today, many of us, we do not know the characteristics of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ask our children. Ask our children about the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his description, his name, his lineage, his country. How many years he lived in Mecca, how many years he lived in Medina, what was he known for before he became a prophet, what was the state of affairs of the Quraysh before he became a prophet and a messenger, many of our children don't know. But ask them about SpongeBob, ask them about cartoons, Tom and Jerry, ask them about the Transformers, they know everything. They can tell you every different Transformer and every character of this movie and every character of this cartoon. And this football player, and Barcelona, and Real Madrid, and they can tell you the players, and their numbers, and their ages. SubhanAllah. Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, save yourself and your family from the hellfire. How do we expect our children to have a genuine and sincere love, and desire, love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and desire to follow him if they don't know about him? And us allowing our children day and night to watch movies and television and cartoons, and if we say we don't have a television, but we allow them to watch it on YouTube, and we do not bring home the books about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we do not allow them to watch the videos about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only the animated videos, I mean, you know, that which is permissible. We do not bring home the books without the faces. We do not allow them to watch the permissible videos about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do not establish a weekly lesson, a weekly, and if we can't be weekly, bi-weekly, if it can't be weekly, monthly lesson about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we do not establish this within our homes and within our communities, how can we expect our children to have any like love and sincere following of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How can they love that which they do not know? Sheikh Saleh Fawzan Hafiz Allah Ta'ala mentioned, wa aqsamu umrihi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should know, you know, when, how long did he spend in Mecca? Or how long before, when did he become a prophet, after what age, and the likes. وَأَقْسَامُ الْمُدَّةِ الَّتِي أَقَامَهَا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا. How long did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم spend in this life? تَعْرِفُهَا أَيْضًا قَبْلَ النَّبُوَّةِ وَبَعْدَهَا. You should know How long did he spend before he became a prophet? How long did he spend after a prophet? What was his age when he became a prophet? You know, and then this instills, when we teach it to our children, this instills in them the love. You find the children saying, I can't wait till I turn 40. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became a prophet and a messenger when he was 40. He said, but you know, you're not going to become a prophet and a messenger. Yes, I know that, but I just want to reach that age because I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want to reach that age because that's when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became a prophet and a messenger. They might say that's when he first met Jibril. In fact, he met Jibril before that. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was young, Jibril approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and cut open his chest and took out his heart. You know, so we should remind them of this. We should teach it to them. This creates a love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam within the lives and the hearts of our children. وَقَبْلَ الْحِجْرَةِ وَبَعْدَ الْحِجْرَةِ We should know about him before the hijrah and after the hijrah. We should know. We should teach them that before the hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was calling to tawheed. And at first he was doing so in private. And the Sahaba, they were very scared. They couldn't go out and pray publicly. They couldn't call publicly. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, he mentioned that for several days he saw Abu Dharr al-Ghafari going around the Kaaba, walking around as a stranger. But he dared to approach him because he did not want the Quraysh to know where the Muslims were meeting and gathering in private and secrecy to learn the religion of Islam and to learn the ayats that were being revealed. This is the state of the Muslims. They were being oppressed. They were scared. And then, you know, that later on when Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala became Muslim, he went to the Quraysh and he threatened them. I'm Umar, I entered into Islam. What do you want? Who do you want to afflict with any type of harm? So it creates within our children the love of Umar. And the Muslims came out and began to pray publicly. They said, we were not able to pray publicly until Umar entered into Islam. So our children say, now we want to be like Umar. And our daughters say, we want to be like the daughter of Umar. Because we know that his sister had something to do with him entering into Islam. So the women, they say, we want to be like the sister of Umar. And the sons say, we want to be like Umar. And others say, we want to be like Khalid ibn al-Walid. We want to be like the Prophet's uncle Hamza, you know, who also was a great support for al-Islam. Sheikh Salah Fawzan says, Ta'arif kayfa ibtada'a bil-wahi. You should know how the revelation began. And to inform you how the Salaf understood this, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, open up Sahih al-Bukhari. You have Kitab al-Iman, and then you have Kitab al-Badi bil-wahi. You have the book of Revelation, the beginning of the revelation. Why did Imam Bukhari begin his book with the beginning of revelation? Because it's extremely important. How did the revelation come? Sheikh Salih Fawzan mentioned that. You should know how the revelation began. What took place? And this tells you how the Prophet was, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he became a prophet. He used to like to be alone. He used to like to go into, you know, as they say, you know, isolation. He liked to be alone. To think about Allah, to think about the ni'mas of Allah, to think about, to be away from the people and their shirk and their bid'ah. To be away from the people and their sin and their transgression and their innovation and their idols, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this, what does this mean? This doesn't mean that our children develop a manner of isolation, no. But they do not have a problem being away from people when they are upon sin. Our children develop this. If the people are upon sin, I don't want to be like them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to abstain from the people. He used to go to the mountain. He used to go to the cave. And he used to bring food and provisions. And he used to stay there and think about Allah. Reflect over the blessings of Allah. And our children say, I want to be the same way. Not that our children are going to climb mountains and be alone and vice versa. But what would this instill inside of them? This will instill the love of not being around people of sin, not being around the kuffar, not being around people that transgress and speak ill. No, I don't mind being alone. If I have Allah, I have everyone. If I have Allah, I have everyone. And we find that even, you know, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions that. in many of his books, in Kitab al-Fawa'il and Kitab al-Da'a wa al-Dawa' and other books, Ighathat al-Lahfan, he mentions the importance of the Muslim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions the importance of the Muslim not being around people of sin and being around people of transgression, and the Muslim taking time to be alone to reflect. And that's also in the authentic sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَصَلُوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ الْخِيَامِ وَالنَّاسُ أَفْوَدْ وَصَلُوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ الْنِيَامِ. Pray at night while the people are sleeping. Take time to be alone, to reflect, to worship, to supplicate to Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to stand in prayer, as-surat al-layl al-akhir, to stand in prayer in the last portion of the night. When Allah Ta'ala descends to the sky, هل من داع يدعونني فأستجيب له هل من يسألني فأعطيه هل من يستغفرني فأغفر له. Is there anyone calling on me so I may answer him? Is there anyone seeking from me so I may give to him? Is there anyone seeking forgiveness so I may forgive him? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to encourage that the believer spends time alone to reflect, to worship, to supplicate. And this was done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even before becoming a prophet and a messenger. وما هي الآية التي تدل على نبوته. You should know the proofs that inform that he's a prophet. The Jews knew the proofs, but they rejected them. والآيات التي تدل على رسالته. And you should know the proofs that inform of his message. تأتي بالآيات التي تدل على نبوته. You should be able to remember the proofs that inform that he's a prophet, and the proofs that inform that he's a messenger, and the proofs that inform of his message. فلا بد أن تعرف هذا. تعرف نسبه. You should know his lineage. You should know his tribe. You should know all of this. It was mentioned by Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. It was mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala in his majmu'ah. He said, فَالنَّفُوسُ أَحْوَجُ إِلَى مَعْرِفَةِ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَاتِّبَاعُهُ مِنْهَا إِلَى الطَّعَامُ وَالشَّرَابِ. He said, the soul, the individual is in more need of knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that which he came with. Knowing the Prophet and that which he came with. It is in more need of this than its need of food and drink. فَإِنَّ هَذَا إِذَا فَاتَ حَصَلَ الْمَوْتُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَذَاكَ إِذَا فَاتَ حَصَلَ الْعَذَابِ. For verily, if you do not have food and drink, you will die in this life. But if you do not have knowledge of the Prophet and that which he came with, you will be punished in the hereafter. Likewise, it was mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, والرسالة ضرورية للعباد لابد لهم منها وحاجتهم إليها فوق حاجتهم إلى كل شيء والرسالة روح العالم ونور حياته. The message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mandatory that you know it. It is mandatory that you know the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. More than you know anything. Because the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the spirit of this life and it is the light. It is the spirit of the world and it is the light of this life. It was mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. اضطرار العباد فوق كل ضرورة إلى معرفة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وما جاء به وتصديقه فيما أقبره وطاعته فيما أمره. It is mandatory upon the servants, above everything, it is mandatory upon the servants to know the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, of course after knowing Allah. And the reason why he says knowing the Prophet, why? Because you do not know Allah except by way of his messenger. It is mandatory upon the servants above everything to know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that which he came with, and to believe in that which he informed, and to obey him in that which he orders. That is mentioned by Ibn Qayyim and Zad al-Ma'ad, and the other two narrations were mentioned by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala in his Majmu' al-Fatawa. So this is extremely important upon the believer to know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and inshallah ta'ala in the coming lessons we will mention details about his life. The author mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, his age, author mentions how old he was before he became a prophet, and thereafter the author mentions how the revelation began with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The author mentions how long he spent in Mecca, and then he mentions al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. Then the author mentions rahimahullah ta'ala migration to al-Medina, and he goes on thereafter, and this is that which we will take in the next lesson, bi-idhnillah ta'ala. And we ask Allah ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to understand that which we've heard and to implement it and teach to others. And we ask Allah ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to finish the book in the upcoming lessons, bi-idhnillah ta'ala. Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.